Thank you, everyone. Please be seated. Nothing like a little Beethoven in the morning to get the blood moving and the heart pumping, and or not. I mean, it's entirely up to you. Before I begin this morning, I wanted to draw your attention to something that's in your bulletin. This little white piece of paper looks like this. Pull that out of your bulletin and wave it at me. We're not going to ask you to do anything because you filled this out. We want you to fill this out because you're already doing something. We're trying to compile a sort of a map of all the places that Christ United Methodist Church is engaged and involved in mission and ministry. And so if you just put your name on this and some places where you're doing stuff that matters to the world, we'd like to know, and then we can put this up and make a big picture map bulletin board kind of thingy. And I need you to show me a little more enthusiasm about this now. I sit around having great ideas. This apparently wasn't one of them. But I still want you to do it. Please help us out. This afternoon's concert was one of those ideas. You know, there's about 1,000 people a week that pass through the doors of this church that aren't part of our Sunday morning congregation. Today, this afternoon, about 100 people will be performing. Three choirs, a rock and roll band, and a dance studio. It will be diverse. It will be energetic, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm hoping that you'll come. And afterwards, there'll be a reception. You'll get a chance to schmooze with some of the folks that are here and use the building and you may not have ever connected with before. So I'm excited about that. I think that's a great chance for us to make some new friends and find out who all these people are. All right? If you keep this up, I'm going to make Kevin tell the joke he told the choir earlier. And
they got way too much sleepless.
That's not what it is? Yeah. All right. Let me read to you from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 17. Paul is advising us to do something. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, their glory is in their shame, their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. May God add his blessing. I get an hour too much sleep myself. May God add his blessing to this reading from Philippians 3. Will you take a moment and pray with and for me, please? Lord God, for your grace this day, and for a day to remember not just those we've known, but all the saints who've gone before us. Those saints who gather with us when we gather for worship on Sunday. Those who are with us in spirit and in writings and in examples and in stories. Those who help us be the kind of people you've called us to be. Be with us this day. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Paul says, consider. Consider. Consider the examples of those who have lived this life. Consider, he says. Consider the outcome of their lives. Can you think of a few? In your world, in your life, in your journey, who challenged you, who inspired you, who suggested to you that there might be a grander way of living than just getting by. The holy ones, if you will, the saints, who understood and chose to live a life beyond the mundane, who chose to live a life by a different standard, a life that whose God wasn't the belly, whose life wasn't focused on what's all about me and all about mine. People who chose to live a life of joy, to live a life of passion, to live a life that truly mattered for the rest of the world, to live a life that tried to make this place a better place. People who battle cancer are on that list, who fight those things. People who try so very hard to make a difference in this world for Christ's sake. Well, who are they in your world, your holy ones? Somewhere along the line, somebody started you on this journey. Somebody did, right? Most of us didn't just wake up one day and say, I love Jesus. Somebody started you on this journey, encouraged you, challenged you, helped you along the way. Those who invited you into a different kind of life. St. Paul calls these people citizens of heaven. I like that. This world is not any longer my home. I'm a child of the High King. I belong to the kingdom of heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. But even though I'm a citizen of heaven, heaven has sent me as an ambassador to this world. And the same is true for you and for all of us, that our citizenship is beyond what we can see. Who are those people who lived their citizenship as ambassadors to your world? They may be people living, they may be people going on, they may be people you've never met, but people who have called you to a higher life. I made a short list of some of those who represented that for me. My sister Cheryl would be on that list. I have a nice selfie of her and I and my niece Allison at the Dome yesterday. I put on my Facebook page, so you have to. It's my first successfully posted selfie, so younger folks, hooray for me, right? I finally figured out how to get that picture out of my phone into the cyberspace, wherever the heck it's going. I don't know. But my sister Cheryl brought me to Christ. The very first Christian writer I got involved in reading was C.S. Lewis, and he still influences my life. Dr. Elizabeth Bettenhausen, one of my professors at BU, Elizabeth was, she saw the world through a different set of lenses than anybody I'd ever known before. And because she saw the world that way, it challenged me to think about things and to adjust how my life was going to be lived. Dr. Charles Farrow, one of my professors in college, who taught systematic theology. I know that sounds real exciting to everybody, but he was really good at it. And he always had these odd little pithy sayings that he'd throw in the middle of things. He would say things like, remember, human beings are not rational animals. They are animals that rationalize. Well, that's true at so many levels. And obviously stuck with me. My guys, my covenant group, they are always challenging me to do better. Friday, we met in Syracuse, first time after my journey to Uganda. And, you know, they challenge me to live a better life. I've fallen in love with the writings of Dallas Willard recently. Dallas died about a year ago. But, man, that guy really had a sense of how this life is to be lived deeper and better and yet broader and more significant than even I like to think about. And that's been good for me. We don't just grieve the saints. They become shining examples of us, for us. They become examples for our lives as to how we might do better, how we might be better. Some of the saints are long gone. I know St. Paul falls out of fashion periodically, but I still think he's one of the most brilliant human beings that ever lived. Francis of Assisi on the other end of the spectrum, just challenging the seats of power with nothing but a bowl and a robe. He inspires me. John Wesley spent most of his life on horseback preaching from place to place. I can't even imagine. I preach three times on a Sunday and I'm worn out. I can't imagine preaching 30 times in a week or twice a day for months at a time like Wesley did. I'm overwhelmed and inspired and challenged. Or people like Julian of Norwich, who challenges me to not be so much out there, but to explore what's in here and the life that God calls me to. Many of the saints are unknown to the world. Maybe they just make cameos in your life. I was just all of the people in my life that sort of enter, and there's this sort of journey and experience, and then I never see them again. I met a guy in the hotel I was staying at in Dubai who was a Ugandan national. He was on his way to Los Angeles for a conference, and we struck up a conversation at breakfast. And over breakfast, challenged each other to live this life better and to do more for God. And we prayed together in the middle of this hotel, in the middle of the United Arab Emirates, holding hands around our table, praying for each other. I may never see that guy again, but he inspired me in those brief moments we had together. People who do that for us, the cameos. Who challenge us to acts of mercy and acts of justice and to live so much more than ordinary, mundane lives. They used to say about church people, maybe you've had this said about you over at some point or another, that so-and-so was too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good. Have you heard that expression? I want to say to you that the opposite is actually true. That the people in history who've made the biggest impact for Christ in the world were people who recognized that they were citizens of another reality. That their hearts and their minds were set in eternity, but their hands and their feet were dug in here trying to bring that reality to this world. You think of people like William Wilberforce, who spent his whole life striving to eradicate the slave trade from the British Empire, and whose mind, if you ever read any of his stuff, his mind was set in heaven every day. He wanted to connect with God every day, and he wanted to have the presence of God with him throughout the day, and yet he never quit working at what he was working at. Read Martin Luther King's writings. That guy's head and heart was set in eternity, dreaming and imagining of a possible future that the rest of the world hadn't even begun to imagine. And yet he did. And yet he lived. And yet he did those things. These people who recognize that following Jesus is not just about getting to heaven someday, but recognize that it's about being a citizen of this heaven and an ambassador from heaven sent to earth to have our hearts and minds in eternity, but our hands and our feet working to bring justice and mercy to this place. Who are they in your world? Those holy ones, those saints of old. Do you know them? Can you recall them? Can you bring them to mind? Consider, Paul says, consider their example. Consider the impact, the outcome, the result of how they've lived. And he says, do your best to emulate them, to live like that. And since it's my job to mess with your heads, I'd like to end with this. Comfort the afflicted, afflict the comfortable. Is everybody comfortable? You better say no, otherwise I got to come after you. You understand? Because the other side of this is equally important, and I just want to put it out there. Who are you inspiring by your example, by your precept, by how you live your life, by the values around which your life is ordered and organized? Who are you inspiring? And when they come to a moment of remembering and they think of the people that influence them for Christ in an amazing or significant or even just a gentle way, that your name is the one that gets called to mind. Because that's the life we're called to. Not just living for ourselves, but being an example of those who not only, right, we celebrate not only the example of those who came before us, but we are the example of those who are coming after us. I'll just leave you with that challenge as you go into your week. Let us pray. Lord God, receive this offering from my lips to our ears, to our hearts, to your claim and calling on our lives. Help us, Lord, to remember, to remember those who have gone before us. And challenge us, Lord, and remind us that we're to leave a legacy as well into the lives of others that we connect with. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.